Welcome everyone to the Region 7 Planning and Policy Council meeting, the last one of 2020. 2020 seems like it's been 5 years long so far. So thank you all for taking time out of your day to join us. We are meeting virtually per Governor Lee's Executive Order 60. And due to this executive order, this meeting's also being recorded, just like the last few have been as well. So that will be available on the department website within the next day or two. Also, just a quick reminder, if you're not speaking, to please make sure your phone or your computer is muted. We get a lot of feedback and it can interfere with the recording when we're listening later for minutes. And to also please be sure to introduce yourself if you're going to present anything or if you have any questions or anything like that. Just so for the recording purposes, for the minutes to help Butch. So I'm going to go ahead and go through the attendance right now. And Butch, we can always circle back around at the end too, in case anyone joins after attendance is done. So I'm going to go ahead and go through with the individuals who have joined via computer, because it's easier for me. I can see your names there, and then I'll go to the individuals who have called in. So like I said, my name is Kirby Fye. If you've joined via WebEx, I'm listed under Amy Holland, but it's Kirby. I see Allison White on the call, Ashley Knott, Avis Easley, Butch Odom, Jason McCown. I see Jakardis. Jakardis, what's your last name?
Suggs, S-U-G-G-S.
Ah, that sounds familiar now. Thank you. Evan Spratlin, Kubra or Cal Bryant, Kurt Hipple, Marion Bacon, Marta Hernandez Fontenot. Did I pronounce that right, Marta? Okay. Mary Neal, Susan Bell, Tom Starling, Victor Adams, and I see Zakaya. Zakaya, what's your last name? You're muted. Zakaya, what's your last name? I'm sorry, you were muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Oh, wait, you went away. Okay, here you are. Yeah, can you state your last name, please?
Taylor.
Taylor, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me see here. Okay, and then we have a 901 ending at 01. I think that's Bart. Is that you, Bart? Phone number? 901 ending in 01.
No, that's Lawrence Wilson.
Oh, hi, Lawrence. Sorry about that. And then I also see a 901 ending in 37.
That's Brett from Vertava Health.
Brett?
Yeah, Brett Martin.
Hi, Brett. Let me see. And I see John Jackson has also joined. Welcome, John. I don't see Bart on here just yet, but that's what I have, Butch. I'm going to hand it over to you, and we can get moving forward with the agenda.
Mary is in the house. That's really good to see you, Mary.
Yes, Mary. I'm sorry. I just completely looked over you as I saw your face pop up. Hello, Mary. Sorry.
So Mary, if you have the agenda, you're welcome to exercise your vice chair powers.
Yes, let me shut my office door. My 4-year-old has decided to be very loud. Hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Bart got kicked off, so he's trying to get back on. But yes, welcome everybody. Thanks for coming and hanging in here with us with WebEx. It's good to see some of your faces. It feels like a long time since July, since we last saw y'all. And I know that Butch sent the minutes out. So did everybody get a chance to look at those or have a chance to look at them yet? This is in the July 28th meeting. Does anybody want to approve those minutes? Feel comfortable approving the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Tom Starling will second.
Okay, thank you.
Who did the motion? Who did the first motion?
It was Brett.
Brett Martin. Okay, great. And we will do kind of announcements and updates toward the end. So if you'll have anything, definitely hang with us and save them. And we're happy to hear from all of you at the end. We're also going to do a discussion after the department updates, just kind of a check-in with everybody. So Kirby, who's doing y'all's updates today?
That'll be me. You get to hear my voice again.
We like your voice.
Okay, let me pull this up. All right, everyone, just a few updates I have since we last met. Like Mary said, I can't believe it's been since July. It's been quite a while. So just a few updates to go through. Some of these updates may have been shared with you via email already, but in case they haven't, I'm going to go through them. First, year two, FY 2021 of the three-year plan is in its final stages. It's in its final review stages. We actually shared it with regional council leadership on Friday. So you're welcome to share that with your council members to review to see if they have any questions about anything that's in the plan. You'll notice in the plan there are, I've highlighted 2020 needs assessment needs throughout. So please take a look at it and respond by close of business Friday if you have any questions or additions you'd like to make. The FY 2021 mental health block grant application was submitted to SAMHSA on August 13th. The FY 2021 mental health block grant report is also in its final stages. A draft was shared with regional council leadership, and I believe a reminder email was sent out by Avis yesterday. So please get back with her as soon as possible if you have any questions or additions to that report. The department and its community mental health provider partners are excited to expand the state's behavioral health safety net to uninsured children. The program offers an array of essential mental health services for uninsured Tennessee children ages 3 to 17. Services are available for family incomes at or below 138% federal poverty level. Governor Bill Lee and the Tennessee General Assembly appropriated $7.6 million in new state funding in the current fiscal year to create the Children's Behavioral Health Safety Net. Services available through this program include assessment and evaluation, individual group and family therapy, case management, transportation, family support services, medication management, and pharmacy assistance and coordination. A total of 14 community mental health centers with 136 locations statewide are participating in the program. I've included a link in this update that I'm going to, Butch, I'll send this to you via email so you can copy and paste it in your minutes when you share it with the council members. But if you click on this link, which is located on the department website, it'll show you which provider in your area is offering Children's Behavioral Safety Net services. I believe the services began on September 1st. The department is also expanding its school-based behavioral health liaison program to all 95 counties in the state. Governor Bill Lee budgeted and the Tennessee General Assembly appropriated an increase of $3 million for the current fiscal year to expand the program. School-based behavioral health liaisons provide face-to-face consultation with classroom teachers who enhance learning environments for children who have or are at risk for serious emotional disturbance, behavioral problems, or substance use disorders. Liaisons also provide training and education for classroom teachers and serve as a link between schools and families. Liaisons currently serve elementary, middle, and high schools in 36 Tennessee counties. In FY20, which ended June 30th, liaisons served 7,500 children and youth and 2,500 teachers. Liaisons also held more than 11,000 individual counseling sessions and 73 individual consultations. So that's really exciting news. It's being increased from 36 counties to all 95. The Tennessee Recovery Navigators are celebrating two successful years of connecting individuals who come into emergency rooms with treatment for substance use disorder. Navigators are people with lived experience of addiction and at least 2 years in recovery who are able to use their history to relate to the patients they meet. Since the program started in June 2018, the Tennessee Recovery Navigators have interfaced with 3,776 people in emergency rooms. In FY20, 77% of the patients who met with a navigator were placed into treatment. Currently, navigators are employed by 8 community agencies spread across the state. In 2 years, the reach of the program has grown to 38 hospitals in 21 counties. When it began, the program focused on emergency room patients who survived an opioid overdose. As it grew, the program's scope expanded to include people presenting an active withdrawal or with a primary substance use disorder. If you go to www.tn.gov/recovery-navigators, there was a report on there that was created by the department that includes testimonials and more information and successes about the Recovery Navigator program, and it also includes data that has been collected as well. On October 1st, 2020, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, otherwise known as HHS, through the Health Resources and Services Administration, announced $20 billion in new funding for providers on the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic. Under this Phase 3 general distribution allocation, providers that have already received provider relief fund payments will be invited to apply for additional funding that considers financial losses and changes in operating expenses caused by the coronavirus. Additionally, previously ineligible providers, such as those who began practicing in 2020, will also be invited to apply. The deadline to apply for this funding is Friday, November 6th. I've included a link on here. It's a very long link that takes you directly to the page, so I can't read it off, but I've included it in my update. And if you go to hhs.gov/coronavirus/CARES Act Provider Relief Fund, it should take you right there for information you need on who's eligible to apply and how to apply. And last, the department has secured an additional $7.2 million in federal grant funding to respond to mental health and addiction concerns caused by COVID-19 and recent natural disasters. SAMHSA has awarded the department an additional $3.5 million to continue to address mental health concerns caused by COVID-19. This funding supplements a previous grant of almost $1 million. Crisis counseling services through this program are available in all 95 counties. And I've included a link that you can click on that shows you the COVID-19 counseling services in your area. SAMHSA also awarded the department $3.7 million to respond to the mental health effects of flooding from 2019. In February and March 2019, 59 Tennessee counties sustained significant damage from severe weather, and FEMA responded with a disaster declaration. Funding under this grant will support mental health crisis services, behavioral health safety net services, and substance use treatment and recovery services. These two grant announcements come on top of a $2 million grant from SAMHSA to respond to the behavioral health impacts of COVID-19 and a $500,000 grant from FEMA to respond to the impacts of the tornadoes in March. And that is what I have. And like I said, Butch, I'll send this to you via email.
Thanks.
Thanks for the update, Kirby. I was trying to see if Bart was able to get on yet. I'm not sure if he's still kicked off. Okay, so we will go ahead and kind of open it up. We decided instead of a presentation today, we would rather just do a discussion and check in with all of you guys, because that's important. So Butch, Bart, and I talked about talking about kind of what is y'all's new normal, how's it going, and taking some time to consider how our lives have changed during COVID-19, how we're coping with new ways of doing things. Does anybody want to start?
This is Tom. I'll go ahead and just share that we're still providing mental health first aid free to first responders and veteran and military groups. And if that's something that you want to host, you can contact us here at Mental Health America We also received an OCJP grant, Office of Community Justice Program, to provide more mental health first aid. And so we're very excited about that. We're also launching our Zero Suicide Program. Our partners include HCA Hospitals, Sparrow Health, which does a lot of addictions work, the charitable clinics across Tennessee, Core Civic, and WellPath. And we'll be working with them on the zero suicide model. But part of that is, too, that we want to make good referrals to you guys. So it's really important to us to be able to network and know what insurances you take, if you're, you know, safety net participants, Medicaid participants. So we'll continue to be reaching out to you as that launches. Over in West Tennessee, we're actually hiring Amanda Myers. She's an LCSW who's going to be leading the zero suicide efforts in West Tennessee for us. And then lastly, we received a grant to make a mental health directory for the greater Memphis area. It's going to be something that we're going to do online. Hopefully, it's going to look something similar to the addictions treatment locator that you can navigate to through Church Health, to where it's all, you know, mapped out, but that it's mental health based. And we want to make sure that we get all the correct information so that we don't have to go through it a second or a third time. So a graduate assistant who is helping us to garnish all of that information and to get it right the first time. They may be contacting you about that, but we really look forward to just helping people to navigate the system, make it to you, get to you, know what you do, and we're looking forward to creating that directory with all of your help. That's it at Mental Health America.
Hey, Mary, this is Mara Hernandez from Turning Point. We are still open to AHS housing clients. We make weekly phone calls to the clients that are not coming to the center, trying to make sure that they're okay. We're going to do some community activities for this holiday, Halloween. We're going to give away the candy to some of the houses, not all, because, you know, the budget, but we're going to try to do that. And also we're kind of concerned because there's some clients that do not have, they have a phone number we can call. We call the person, they put them on speaker. We kind of say hello, but that's all. We don't know exactly how they are feeling, how they're coping with COVID and with everything that's been going on, the quarantine. So there is a concern right there, but we're trying to do everything we can to continue supporting, you know, with them. That's all.
Thanks for sharing that. How is everybody else doing as far as making adjustments, settling into new normals at work and personally? Because we care about y'all.
This is Susan Bell with Alliance. I'll follow Marta since she's holding down the fort for us at the Turning Point. You know, we're all of our outpatient clinics and crisis center are open, and you know, we're not turning anyone away if they show up. The majority of our outpatient services are being delivered via video or phone conference telehealth. You can imagine the challenges in that, just, you know, being able to adequately access our clients. I mean, it's hard. It's hard for them to adapt. What I'm seeing is, and I begin to think about this the last month or two, is that the strain of this continuing to be our new normal is wearing on everybody. We're seeing increased illness amongst the staff, you know, and I have to believe that a lot of that is stress related. I don't see it changing anytime in the future. Just want everyone to know that all of our numbers are being answered, and if you have any difficulty getting access to outpatient mental health, please contact me. that's about it.
Hello, I'm Kubra Kalbrind with United Healthcare. Hi, you all. I can talk from personal point of view. I had the most sociable job ever anybody could have. I would travel from one end of Tennessee to the other. And those of you who know me know that I'm a people's person. So I truly suffered a lot. I'm just getting used to it because I was used to my hugs, my social contacts with all of you, coming to these meetings and exchanging stories of how we're all doing in this field. I missed that very much, so it really took a big toll on me personally. But I'm so glad you're all well, and hopefully we'll meet again.
Hey, everybody, this is Bart. Just wanted to let you know I was on the call. I called in. You can continue on, man. You're doing great. Thanks.
Well, I'll just say that I think the thing that's really difficult for me is, in Memphis and, our infection rates are starting to look again like they were in July. And, now I'm thinking, boy, I wish I'd done something really fun in August, when it was a tiny bit safer to go out. And so it's really hard with, I've got an adult son living at home with us and he's wanting to get out. And it's just hard to, just even with all of our employees, it's just hard for people to stay vigilant. And it's just tiring. I mean, officially, I'm supposed to have a mask on in my office now because, we walk around with this COVID cloud around us. And if we don't wear a mask, then it's just, it's just real frustrating. Although, I think I've said that before. It was in our 3 or 4 year plan to go telehealth in many ways. I think that, getting someone like Mary Neal to volunteer for us should be easier if she can do it by telehealth, and she is doing it that way. We're at 100% telehealth right now, and we had to do that in a couple of months, and so it was really pretty. And so some of that's never going to go away, I think. And so I think there are some good things that are coming out of this, although I wish the toll on society didn't have to be what it was to make some of these improvements. But I guess that's all. I see somebody else came in the room, so I better go back to my attendance job.
Well said, Butch. This is Jason from St. Francis Healthcare. I've experienced the same. We've seen so many changes just here at the hospital. On our morning call this morning, we discussed how many more cases that we're beginning to see at both of our hospitals. So you're exactly right. August may have been the best time for us to get away. But we certainly do believe that there is another wave, and our administration is working hard to ensure that we don't see some of the same issues that we saw back in March and April. So lots of changes with behavioral health. We still have our same psychiatrist. Both floors are operational. We are seeing fewer numbers of admissions, actually. Our, not turnover rate, but can't think of the term that I'm looking for. What I'm trying to say is we're seeing more patients referred outpatient to partial hospitalization, intensive outpatient, and even outpatient levels of care. So I really find that interesting. I'm working every day to try how that's happening. And people like Lindsay and even Allison can probably talk about their facilities as well. But on a personal note, and thanks for sharing from your personal story, after being furloughed and then returning to work, and the hospital made so many changes in my absence, it was truly like a reorientation to my job. I've been with St. Francis for almost 10 years now, and so it's been a really different year. I hope we don't see a repeat in 21.
Hey, it's Allison Gadd. Thanks, Jason. I can say I'm Allison. I'm with Methodist Healthcare, Methodist Lebanon Healthcare. Just to reiterate what Jason said, our numbers are just going up. They're skyrocketing. We're having capacity issues. Again, making sure that we're all being vigilant, wearing our mask, social distancing, washing our hands, all of that stuff. And like Bush said, and everybody else is saying, it's put a toll on everyone. I'm in the office 2.5 days a week, and I'm telecommuting the other days from home. I've got one kid full-time in school. The other kid is hybrid at home in school. COVID fatigue is real, but just trying to keep up with what we need to do I'm afraid it's going to get bad, but logistically in the hospitals, the capacity is becoming an issue, so.
Hey, and this is Tom again with Mental Health America. I don't know if I answered the question other than to say some of our initiatives and giving those updates, but we have held Friday virtual dance parties. We have contacted an improv group who helped us to do some team building online. We have done a 2-hour seminar on the Enneagram at work, which was really good. We actually had a lot of good professional development through that. And then our organization is actually providing a workplace wellness program for free if you need that. So 50-minute Zoom on compassion fatigue, burnout, Zoom fatigue, workplace anxiety, self-care, coping skills. A lot of it is just for professionals. So if that's something that you wanted to schedule through Mental Health America, you could contact me or anybody here at Mental Health America. And we'd be glad to do that. Free is about the right price. And it's just something that you could offer all of your employees. Or we could do it for Region 7 if you wanted that.
Hey, guys, this is Kevin Sproul at Memphis Fire. I want to echo what Olivia said about the hospitals being at capacity. We are struggling. There was a point this weekend I looked, and every hospital in Memphis, every ER, except for the VA in Lebanon, was a critical advisory, meaning ours were full. In the last 2 weeks, I just pulled up the data while we were talking, the last 2 weeks, we've had 11 occurrences where we had an ambulance in an ER for over 7 hours waiting to transfer care. It is not unusual now for us to have ambulances there 2 to 3 hours waiting to transfer care. So it's quite a challenge right now with hospital capacity, and a lot of you know the work that we do in my program. We work on navigating low acuity medical and for health patients into the right resource and away from ER. And so our work has been ramping up to cope with the hospitals being full of patients right now. So I call on you all, just like everyone else has, wear your mask, take care of their social distance, and I'll only add that think closely about referring to the ERs for medical clearance, because that might not always be what's best for that patient. So do us a favor and think closely about, could that patient be mentioned another way instead of being in the ER. So thank you all. I appreciate everyone's doing.
Really appreciate your work, Kevin.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. This is Bart. Can you hear me? Can everyone hear
yeah,
me?
We can hear you, Bart.
Yeah,
We can hear you. We're all on mute.
It's horrible WebEx over here. I don't know what's going on. This sucks. I know it's not the most professional term, but this is probably the most difficult year that I've had to experience. It's hard as an agency, especially since Lowenstein House psychosocial programs across the country. We're the buffer from someone doing well and possibly going into the hospital. We're the ones that are supposed to stop that, reduce that hospitalization. We're the ones that are supposed to reintegrate our members back into society. give them purpose, give them encouragement, give them hope. And I really don't know how to do that. I mean, I'm just going to be frank. This is new. All my training hasn't prepared me for this. I mean, I've done crisis. I mean, I've seen the worst of everything. I mean, I've seen blood. I've seen suicides. I've seen everything. But I can't figure out something as simple as this. At least I think it should be simple, and it's hard. It allows me to see how much we need each other, no matter what color we are, no matter our gender preference, no matter where we are in our life. We actually need one another, and it makes me sad because my members who are already shunned from our society, who are oftentimes at the very bottom of every socioeconomic totem pole and every negative aspect, they're taking it the hardest. And I'm trying to figure something out. I'm trying to figure out how we can take care of them, but it's not working. And like everyone else has said and everyone else has echoed, this seems like this is going to be our norm. And for this to be our norm and I still haven't figured out anything, it's sad. I'm hurt. I actually want to cry. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I want to cry. I have cried. It's a punch to my ego. I mean, I was literally hired to make people better. That's pretty much my job description. As a program director, make people better. The other part is to make sure you take care of yourself. And I actually don't know how to do that either. My mom hasn't been able to see my child. It's about to be a year. She only seen her two or three times. She's almost passed away. 2020 sucks. It pretty much sucks, and it's not getting better. So I won't keep any longer. I just want to make sure that everyone is well. We decided that we want to talk about this because so often as healthcare providers, we don't take care of ourselves. So often as healthcare providers, people are looking to us for answers. And it's a blow to my ego, but I really don't have an answer. And I fear that if we don't hurry up and figure this out, those hospitalizations are going to be even higher and higher and higher. And then we'll have a bigger problem on our hand, a problem where we haven't seen. And I dare not say it, but it's something that we have to figure out really quickly, very soon. So for those of you who don't know or don't have it, I'll give you my personal cell phone number. The reason why I'm giving you this, I need for you to have it in case you need to talk, in case you don't want to tell everybody your business, not for therapy, just to talk, just as colleagues, as friends. I know human interaction is very important. So my cell phone number is area code 601-282-0107. Feel free to call or text me at any time, day or night. If you have any answers, if you have something revolutionary that we can do to change or to help fix our community, our region, the members who are suffering the most, please give me solutions, ideas. I am 100% open to all of them. That's it for me, y'all.
Bart, what did you say your area code is? Your 601 or 901?
Now, Kubra. There is no way you shouldn't have my phone number. I don't understand.
I want to double check.
I'm reluctant to give it to you, but I'll try it one more time. The area code is 601, Cooper. 601.
Okay.
Be sure, Cooper, you got it this time.
I got it. Thank you.
All right, Cooper. Mary or Butch, you can please take it over. You guys are doing great.
Thanks for sharing, Bart. I think we can all relate to that. And what Allison was talking about, just, you know, I think the news keeps popping up. The COVID fatigue is real. And our numbers are showing it in response to it. So we do need to remain vigilant. And I appreciate, you know, those of you that are on the front lines that are sharing today about kind of the changes and the stressors that are popping up again. I think we've got a couple people in the chat. Tom just wanted to say, if anybody's interested in the workplace wellness program for your staff via Zoom, let him know. You can email him directly. Who else would like to share that hasn't gotten to you?
Mary, if I can, Tom, if it's all right with everyone else, maybe you can present on our next meeting. I think it will be in January. I don't have my calendar in front of me. Let me see. Not to put you on the spot, Tom. Feel free to think about it. If you have something, you can get back with me. Just to put it out there. I think that wellness workplace, the workplace wellness program is great then, so.
Sure, either then or between now and then, anytime.
Sounds good. Sorry, man.
Yeah, I agree. That would be really helpful. I can't tell if Zakiya is trying to talk to us or not. She raised her hand.
You're still on mute, Zakiya.
There you are.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, because I thought I had an echo. Okay, so this is Zakiya. I work for Alliance. This isn't necessarily an Alliance representation, but I work for Alliance, and I work in residential services. So part of what I do every day is I facilitate group and everything, and so I pretty much do a calendar for the activities that we do. And the main thing that I've been trying to focus on with the peers is making sure that we kind of work from the aspect of symptom management and work on the goals that we have in psychosocial rehabilitation. So a lot of it is just kind of trying to keep up a positive attitude about everything that is happening. And a lot of it right now is kind of what we're dealing with on the outside, which is dealing with the numbers and dealing with the aspect of quarantining. And as Bart mentioned, a lot of us are dealing with things with our family and our parents. For me personally, my mom had a couple of falls and she has seizure disorder. So she's even had to kind of do that hospital walk on her own and that kind of thing. I also graduated from college this year, had no graduation, that kind of thing. But on the other side of it, for the peers, I kind of want it to be the best kind of version of normal that it can be and the least devastating version of what normal can be, with the idea that eventually we will be able to go back into society and still have a level of tolerance for each other. So I'm trying to create that environment as best we can within the home and not have a negative stigma, not just with the idea of the negative stigma that exists for individuals like ourselves, as for me, a peer, you know, who have a mental health diagnosis, but also with what we see on TV, where we may not get all of the information, where we have different things that are happening or allegedly happening with law enforcement and different things with situations with race relations and civil rights situations. So with not necessarily having all the information or maybe a negative aspect of what the information may be, I want them to be able to seek out their own ideas, but still be able to be positive with each other and still be able to seek out positive relationships with their family, so that when we do have whatever this version of the new normal, we're able to live in a harmonious way. So that's what I'm trying to help them to be able to find their own versions of happiness and peace and positivity and tolerance. So I don't know, however that happens for all of us. So overall, like I said, just symptom management, because the reality is right now, and, you know, as we all work together, everybody has their own thing. But I think now as a nation, as a world, what may happen for some people like myself, where we may have had, and like I said, for me, a diagnosis or a situation where we may have had that OCD piece or that, oh my gosh, I have to go and buy all this cleaner or I have to go and stock up on Clorox wipes. Well, that was my everyday situation. The people at Dollar Tree knew me. I was always buying 20 packages of Clorox wipes. I was always buying all this Lysol. So now this devastation is for everybody. And now the idea that I'm limited on what I go get, it's a mania situation for me where I'm just focusing like, okay, breathe. Well, for everybody else running out of toilet paper, they're losing it. And I'm like, wonder how I've been feeling all this time. You know? So whereas I'm having to take a breather, and it's always been my reality and my norm, all these other people are like, oh, my God, there's no tissue. There's no tissue. And I'm like, I've been feeling like this for 20 years. You know? So, you know, my mom sits back with me and she goes, hey, this has always been, you know, the norm. This has been the norm for my daughter. And these people are just now getting it. And I'm so glad I've had my coping skills. I'm so glad I've had my psychiatrist. I'm so glad that we, the way we're sitting here right now, we have each other, that I'm not losing it. So I get how everybody feels. This has always been my life. I'm so glad that I've been working on this for so long. So I promise you guys, we're going to be okay. I guess I just want to say that. So I work here every day. I come to work because I have to. I'm supporting people just like me. And I guess I just want to say to you all, we're going to be okay. Everybody's in this COVID frenzy. But how long have I been living like this? Does that make sense to anybody? I mean, I don't know. But I just want to say that we're going to be okay. That's all I wanted to say. We will be okay. Thank y'all for listening. Sorry about that.
No, that's great.
Thank you. That was really good. Yeah, thank you.
For somebody, because some of us have been living in this moment almost all of our lives, and if not for the idea that we have each other, we have this support, we've been living with these coping skills. If we didn't already have like a bomb shelter in our house where we already had all this tissue and this Lysol and these paper towels, man, we wouldn't even made it before. So we're okay. And we have each other. We were already doing this. We can do this together. I just want to say that to you all. We're okay. And we're already equipped. And that's why we're going to be okay, because we can help other people. Just know that, okay? I just want to say that. Thank you guys for listening to me. I appreciate that. I'm going to figure out how to get off the screen.
Thanks for Sharon, Zakiya, and Marta in the chat box. And I think you did hit on something. You know, I think we are stronger than we give ourselves credit for. We do have some resilience that we may not realize that we have. I know this year has brought a lot of different stressors and anxieties and ups and downs. And as soon as you feel like you have things under control, then you get hit with something else. So I think we can all relate from the same place. And as we care for our clients, you know, we're all going through this together, which is not something that we all could have said before. And we're in a unique place to really be able to all relate to what everyone else is going through. I, for one, my whole house is really sick right now, and that has been very anxiety provoking. I was extremely grateful to be able to get a pretty quick COVID test and for it to be negative. And, you know, that was not something that I probably could have gotten 6 months from you know, ago. I got it in, it was about 48 hours. But that was very stressful waiting on that result. And so I think just even in a year when it's scary to be sick is something new to us. Several of you have talked about how different it is not being able to see family or friends and how hard that's been and heartbreaking. And I know I can definitely relate to that as well. So I appreciate those of you that have shared. Does anybody else want to talk about agency changes or just kind of a check-in, how they're doing?
Yeah, hey, Mary, this is Victor Adams. How are you?
Hey, good.
Hey, guys. So I work at Compass Intervention Center. I know many of you from my marketing days, and I just want to add on to a piggyback what everyone else is saying is that for us, we work with adolescents and children, mostly adolescents, but we're seeing a lot of these kids who aren't going to school or have a limited social activities become more bored. And when they're bored, they usually tend to experiment with prescription medication they're finding or alcohol around the house. And although we're not an acute facility, we see a lot of kids stepping down with that diagnosis, the sense of kind of pre-addiction aspect, and also kind of like defiant and going on in the home due to arguments with family and the parents, possibly also domestic issues going on as well. So we also got to remember our younger members of society are going through a most difficult situation as well, when they're supposed to be growing up and exploring their all the adventures in their lives are being limited, and we're telling them to be more aware of what's going on, which usually doesn't work with anyone who has teenagers, know that it's hard to get that message across. But anyways, we are seeing a large movement towards IOP and partial for our program. And because of that, we went ahead and they bought a portable unit to house that expansion of that need for outpatient. And we are in the process of kind of getting that, we got it up and running, and we're going to be doing a virtual tour. So we don't have a date yet, but sometime in November, we're going to be doing that. And I would like to send that out for everybody, but also for you guys to know that we're out there as well to help out and assist.
Hey, Mary and everybody, this is Avis. I'm just so glad to see everyone on the call today. I just wanted to highlight just a few points, starting with Bart, Marta, and Kubra. Some of the things that you all said really hit home with me, and one was that you missed the connection, the social interaction. As Kubra said, I'm a very sociable person, so I really enjoy coming together and seeing everybody and oftentimes exchanging hugs, as we always do, and Bart as well, and Marta, and many of you. So I do miss that. But one thing I do want to say alongside of what Bart was talking about, that sometimes, you know, as you stated, Bart, this you didn't learn by textbooks, and none of us did, and so it's very difficult. So we're learning as we go how to manage our work environment, along with the home environment, along with family environment. So it's like a juggling act. It really is. But we're all in this together, and as everyone has talked about, I don't want anyone to feel like they're alone during this time. So as Bar said, please feel free to reach out to me if you need to talk. Most of you have my contact information or via email with the state or phone. Feel free at any time to reach out to me. I'm always here to help you through it or discuss, and I don't mind talking and stopping doing what I'm doing as well. So just keep that in mind. Another thing is that I just wanted to share with you, for those of you that work with the peer support centers, as Marta stated, maybe in the psychosocial programs, Bart, that you have there with your agency. One of the things that I have learned and I wanted to share, I am a council member of the Traumatic Brain Injury Council, and some of the things that they're doing that I think is just cutting edge and out of the box, if maybe something that you all may want to consider trying if it is possible. And one of the things that they're doing, they had prior to COVID in-person support groups. But with everything happening, they can't do that now. So they've moved those groups to Zoom. And a couple of times I sit in on the support groups because I just wanted to see how they were facilitated, organized, and I was just blown away. And what they're doing is, and this may be difficult with some of our mental health supported living facilities that may not have a computer in the home or access to computers, but if you find that some of your or all of your individuals that you serve have this capacity in their supported living homes, they have these virtual meetings where they have speakers to talk about how they are coping with COVID, how they're coping with the social interaction of the, or the lack thereof. But also what they have done, which I thought was just fascinating, and it went over very well, they had someone from an art individual to come in and did teach art while they were at home. So they had canvases, and they did. They went through the process of doing a painting throughout the virtual support group meeting, and it went over very well. And I was just blown away how happy they were, how energetic they were, how appreciative they were to do something like this via Zoom. They had another class where they did jewelry making. They did they're doing every support group meeting. They have a different person that is coming to present some type of group activity for them to do. And if this is possible with the peer support centers, that would be great. If it is, if it's not, I do understand. But those are some of the things maybe you could tap into BART and MADA if it's possible with the groups that you're working with, as well as the one-on-one phone calls, which I thought, MADA, was fantastic to be able to reach out to each person individually as you can just to check on them and see how they're doing. But I just wanted to throw that out there in case that would help someone along the way as they're trying to figure out ways to connect and stay connected with the individuals they serve.
Thank you. That's amazing. I'm definitely going to take some of that. My gears are turning now. That's great. Thank you so much, Avis. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And if anybody else wants to reach out to me as I continue with the in my role as a member of the Traumatic Brain Injury Council, as I see things that they are doing that's out of the box and cutting edge, I don't mind sharing that at any time, either with the group or one-on-one individually. Just let me know, and however I can be of service, I would definitely want to share that information.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Is there anybody else that wants to share? Is Ms. Mary still there?
Yeah, I'm here, and we can move on to other announcements or updates if anybody hasn't gotten to share those that wanted to.
I saw it in the chat, but I think we should, if we're in the announcements, we should note that MADA was named CPR Advocate of the Year for the state of Tennessee at this most recent thing. Congratulations.
Congratulations, MADA. Yay, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, Butch does Zoom meetings with us every Thursday, and they call me. I was in the kitchen. They call me, and they're like, "Hey, Mr. Butch is like blasting off you up there. You know, he's just talking about you." I'm like, "This Butch." Anyway, we love you, Butch, and we really appreciate what you're doing for Turning Point. You know,
I asked you to come out and take a bow, and you said you were too busy cooking.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I have to cook. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And I miss my hugs. I just miss my hugs. That's all.
I can definitely relate to that, Marta. I think there's a couple virtual conferences coming up, but since no one's saying anything, maybe they're full. Any other announcements you'd like the group to know?
Hey, sorry, this is Lindsay. My phone's been ringing, so I apologize. I'm from Lakeside. Good afternoon, everybody. Lakeside, well, and myself, just to kind of add, I guess, to the conversation briefly before we all jump off, has been open and functioning back since March. I've been at work every day since then, with several changes, obviously, with COVID-related updates and, you know, things, guidelines as we're following, you know, making sure that all of our employees stay safe, that our patients stay safe, and anyone who needs to come onto our campus, you know, as vendors or contractors or things like that. You know, there's specific guidelines and rules that we have to follow with wearing masks and making sure that everyone is, you know, doing health screenings every day. And we've actually hired people to be screeners at Lakeside to take temperatures and, you know, check everyone before they even exit their vehicles and enter any of our buildings. So we've been blessed that, you know, most of our staff have stayed pretty healthy. And we've been able to, you know, keep our patients safe and things like that. We've also offered telehealth for people who are interested in doing it that way versus coming in person. You know, it's a struggle, as you all have mentioned, dealing with, you know, our patients or consumers or, you know, whatever we want to call them, to try to connect with them virtually sometimes is a little bit difficult. And so we definitely offer the opportunity for them to come in person if that's what they would prefer for their treatment. So, you know, if anybody needs anything, or they've got questions, I mean, we're definitely open. We're here. We also are really trying to support the professionals who are working with, you know, the patients and are doing lunch and learns. We started off every week, but now it's there twice a month, where we add, education, but also we've done some for, you know, coping skills and different things like that, vicarious trauma. To educate some of the professionals and kind of try to get them to a better place. We do have a conference coming up on November 13th that will provide 3 hours of ethics that will be approved through NBCC and NASW. If you go to Eventbrite and search Lakeside Behavioral Health System, the event should pop up. We were, I think, full up until this morning, and I got our Zoom limit approved. So we're increasing that up significantly, so we should not have an issue with getting anybody who's interested in coming to the conference to be able to register. So please, it's going to be a virtual event, so you can register as a participant for free. If you want to be a vendor, I know I've reached out to some of y'all who have been vendors in the past. If you want to be a vendor, we also have those opportunities as well, with information on that Eventbrite page, or I'll put my email in the chat box. Please send me an email if you're interested in more information, or if you, for whatever reason, can't find it on Eventbrite, and I can email you the link for that. And that's all I got. I'm sorry I was late.
Thanks, Lindsay. Anybody else have updates or announcements from their organizations? I just want to say thank you to everyone that felt comfortable sharing today. You know, it helps kind of hear from everybody else. And, you know, I think universality and hope is really important right now. So I think it's good for us to all lean on each other, even if we have to do it virtually. So hugs from our computers. Our next meeting is also, we're going to go ahead and say, going to be on WebEx.
Hey, Mary.
Yeah.
Mary. Kirby, Kirby wants to discuss the 2021 needs assessment.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, nothing. It doesn't have things, Butch. I almost forgot about it. That was such a great discussion, you all. It was so good. Just something to keep in mind, because I know a lot of needs, just in this phone call we've been talking about, a lot of needs have been identified with the pandemic and how it relates to mental health and substance use needs. So I just want you all to really begin thinking about that, because our next meeting will be talking about it, and then they'll be due April 1st, believe it or not. So just something I want you all to keep in mind, because it's just right around the corner. And I know the FY 2021 3-year plan was shared for review, so you can go through that and look at the 2020 needs that were addressed in that document, and kind of use that to guide where you're going to go moving forward. So it was just a little reminder. And if you want to go further into it, by all means, but I just wanted to make sure you had that included on the agenda.
Thank you, Kirby. We always appreciate our reminders. Go ahead, Bart.
No. Go ahead. I was just saying thank you, and we'll put it on the agenda for next time.
Yes, so our next meeting is January 26, 2021. It's also Tuesday, 11:30 to 1:30 via WebEx. So we'll send that reminder out again. Butcher, Bart, did y'all have anything else today?
No, I don't. Thank you.
I don't either.
On tomorrow, we have the state planning meeting. It will be via WebEx.
Yep, that's tomorrow morning from 10 to 12. Right, Kirby? Correct. Okay. All right, guys. Well, we will see you all again in a couple months. Happy holidays and your new normal. Good to see some of you. And, yeah, we'll be talking soon. Keep in touch.
Bye, all.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.